you where you were going 40 miles an hour. This is a residential area.
Sure, but I'm on my lawnmower. Wait, am I getting a ticket?
No, I've just never seen anyone top 9 miles an hour on one of those bad boys. And mow their entire lawn in 30 seconds? What got into you?
Well, it did fuel up at Sunoco this morning.
At Sunoco, we know how to fuel peak performance. We've been doing it for American racing for over 50 years. Fuel your best.
This NASCAR season, every member of the Toyota Racing Team is doing their part to take the trophy home. Like sixth grader Melissa Kowalski, who changes true to true X on every true-false quiz she takes.
All my teachers are Martin Truex Jr. fans now.
Keep up the great work, Melissa. To accomplish greater things this year, everyone plays a part. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Inc.
Ford has put the stock back in stock car, and now you can register for your chance to be Ford Performance's VIP guest and watch the NASCAR Next Gen Mustang hit the track for the first time in 2022. One grand prize winner and their guest will receive a trip for two to Daytona Beach with VIP access, Ford Performance driver meet and greets, round trip airfare, and more. Register now through November 7th at FordNextGen.com. That's FordNextGen.com.
The following is a production of the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR.
The Motor Racing Network presents NASCAR Live.
I had such a good day today in stage points and stuff, and I was positioned well to where if I finished in the top, you know, 4 or 5, I was still going to probably gain a lot, I would think, on the cut line. So I wasn't too worried about it. But I still, yes, I probably would have been, it still would have been on my mind going to Kansas. But as long as I went to Kansas and you know, ran up front in the stages and stuff too, I would have felt really good about it. So I just was more worried about, like, if, you know, like, get in the wall or something like Denny or Truex or get caught up in a wreck, stuff like that, which is now we don't have to worry about. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm not going to plan on racing any differently these next 2 weeks. I still want to, you know, win stages, win some races, and keep this momentum going into Phoenix.
NASCAR Live is brought to you by Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry. Trusted to perform since 1952 by Xfinity XFi, internet that's more than just fast. Xfinity, proud premier partner of NASCAR. And by Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief, the official pain relief cream of the Motor Racing Network. Blue Emu is family owned and manufactured here in America. It works fast and you won't stink. From the MRN studios in Concord, North Carolina, here is your host, Mike Bagley.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of NASCAR Live here on the Motor Racing Network. Mike Bagley and the entire MRN crew here with you as we have emerged from Texas and getting ready to work our way into the Kansas Speedway this weekend. Lots to talk about as far as Texas was concerned, including a chat with the winner of the Cup race. Kyle Larson is going to stop by. His 8th points-paying win of the year, and with that win Sunday, already guaranteed to be one of the championship four for the season-ending race at Phoenix. We're also going to chat with his crew chief, Cliff Daniels. He told the team, base hits, guys, base hits. Well, they got another base hit this past weekend, and it's helping them towards a championship. We'll check in with Cliff. Also going to check in with former Cup Series driver, current Fox analyst Clint Bowyer. We'll see what Clint has on his mind. We'll chat with NASCAR Camping World Truck Series playoff contender Chandler Smith. We'll also check in with Ty Dillon. He announced some big news for his 2022 plans recently. He'll join us. He's going back cup racing next year. We'll talk with Ty. We're also going to preview the race weekend at Kansas Speedway and a whole lot more. But first, Kyle Rickey's here with the latest headlines in the world of NASCAR. Kyle, what do you have?
Mike, only 3 races remain for the NASCAR Cup Series as they head into Kansas this weekend. 7 drivers will be looking to lock their way into the championship race after Kyle Larson secured his spot at Texas. All eyes will be on Joey Logano after his first blown engine in 7 years put him in a must-win situation in one of the next 2 races. Logano is no stranger to racing his way into the championship four, and won this race at Kansas last year to advance to Phoenix. A familiar face will make his return to the NASCAR Cup Series this weekend at Kansas. Parker Kligerman will drive for Gaunt Brothers Racing on Sunday. This will be Kligerman's first start in NASCAR's top series since the fall of 2019 at Texas. Finally, in Xfinity Series news, ARCA Menards Series standout Nick Sanchez will make the move up to the series in 2022. Sanchez will drive multiple races for BJ McLeod Motorsports next season, the team announced on Tuesday. Sanchez has 8 top 5 finishes in his first full-time ARCA Menards Series season. MRN has full coverage of both the Xfinity Series and the ARCA Menards Series races this weekend in a Saturday doubleheader. Coverage of the Xfinity Series Kansas Lottery 300 starts at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and we will crown an ARCA Menards Series champion under the lights with coverage of the Reese's 150 starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. Mike.
Thank you, Kyle. Coming up, Kyle Larson will join us, and later we'll check in with Clint Boyer.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. Kyle Larson won at Texas over the weekend, making him the first driver locked into racing for a championship at Phoenix Raceway. Woody Kane had a chance to chat with the Hendrick Motorsports driver.
Ruoff Mortgage wants to welcome you home with their fast and stress-free mortgage process. Ruoff knows that when you're ready to move, you want to keep things moving. From the moment you start, Ruoff makes sure the process moves quickly, often twice as fast as other lenders, so you can close quickly and settle in sooner. Visit Ruoff.com to learn how you can qualify for the fastest loan of your life. That's Ruoff, R-U-O-F-F.com.
Kyle Larson joins us now, the winner at Texas Motor Speedway, his 8th victory of the season, 2nd in a row, 3 of the last 5 playoff races, 256 laps led. Kyle, come on, man. How about a grin? You got it going on right now. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. It was. It's definitely been a great year. It's been an awesome couple weeks here, and I'm just hoping we can continue to roll with this momentum on throughout these next couple weeks and into Phoenix and hopefully get a championship.
You know how difficult these playoffs are, especially in this format with the rounds and elimination races, and you know, a little bit of bad luck can knock you right out. I mean, goodness, Kevin Harvick wins 9 times and doesn't make the championship race a year ago. So how satisfying is it to be in the position that you guys are in with 2 races still left to go in this round before you even have to race for a championship?
Yeah, it's nice for sure. You know, a couple years ago, I think I won in the round of 12, which got me to the round of 8 for the first time, you know, in the first race at Dover. And that was, you know, nice because I got to, you know, avoid the stress of Talladega. and then I ended up breaking a rib and all that. So then I had, you know, stress after that. But, you know, this is definitely nice to, you know, get through it and know that we're going to be racing for a championship in Phoenix. You know, my first time ever. Cliff Daniels' first time as a crew chief. So it's an awesome opportunity, and we're definitely going to prepare and plan like we always have. And hopefully, you know, we can continue to win some races here these next couple weeks. And like I said, carry in a lot of momentum into Phoenix.
A year ago at this time, you were about to be reinstated by NASCAR. Your deal with Hendrick Motorsports was about to be announced. And the playoffs were going on, and I'm curious, what was running through your mind at that time versus today? Did you even imagine or allow yourself to dream that this season might be this strong?
Yeah, I'm not sure what I was really thinking about back then and how this season would be. I think just more so grateful for the opportunity. And then, yeah, I mean, I think once Chase kind of went on his heater there the last few races and you know, won it, the championship at Phoenix, it really got me excited about this year and what we could possibly do, because, you know, I'm not thinking wins really at that point. I'm just thinking, you know, Chase just won a championship, so I know I'm going to have a good opportunity to hopefully win a championship, and with that comes, you know, race wins. So and the rules weren't really changing this year and stuff like that, so definitely got me excited. And just cool to be working with Cliff and everybody on our 5 team, and they've got experience racing for championships, you know, maybe in different roles, you know, my mechanics and stuff, but I haven't. So maybe they'll be able to help me out a little bit.
Another recent event I saw on social media was that the Kyle Larson Foundation, the Drive for 5 program, is right at $200,000 for this season. Tell folks what's going on there and how they can get involved.
Yeah, it's been cool. My Drive for Five campaign, I put money in for every top five and laps completed and wins and stuff. And yeah, we've been able to raise a lot of money. Valvoline's been a part of it as well and supporting me in the races that they've been my primary sponsor. But it's cool to, there was a lot of people who supported me last year. The Urban Youth Racing School, the Sane Foundation, and then my foundation also is aligned with the Hendrick Cares program. So all the money that I've raised is going to go to help benefit those communities and kids who were a part of my career last year. And it's been neat. I hope to grow it even into something bigger down the road. And so it's been fun to learn a little bit more about it all and how foundations work. And it's definitely been enjoyable. And I've built close relationships through it as well.
It's been cool to see the evolution of it coming through the season. I want to ask you, Owen is, I think, almost seven now. Your daughter, Audrey, is about three. So what's been something here recently that has made you and Caitlin laugh out loud that they've done?
Well, so Owen, I guess, he's gotten into baseball, and he really loves that right now. And that's been a lot of fun to go there and do something different away from a racetrack. So he's struggled at racing, since he's started. He's had some moments where you think like, wow, he's figured it out and he's going to be really, really good. And then, kids are so up and down, I feel like, and how they process information. So right now he's been going through a big slump for a handful of months now. So last week he raced on Tuesday. And before it, for a couple days before, he said it was his last race. He was going to retire, like Jack Hanchild's doing. So he was going to retire, which I was like, fine. Or he said he's going to retire for 3 years and then figure it out after that. But then he raced on Tuesday, and I wasn't there for it. I was racing myself. And so I asked him, I was like, man, how's your race, for your retirement, your last race? Is like, oh, I'm not retiring anymore. I figured my line out, so I'm gonna continue to race. So we're racing again tonight at Millbridge, and we'll see how it goes. Maybe he'll end up retiring again after tonight.
It sounds like he needs an agent already, doesn't it? I mean, yeah. My gosh, they grow so fast. You'll look up one day and he'll be asking to borrow the streetcar to go on a date or something. Man, time really flies, doesn't it? Let's look ahead to Kansas coming up this weekend. I can't believe it, but looking it up, it's almost 10 years now since that track was repaved. What do you think of that track and the racing surface, the way it's changed over the last few years?
I wish that they could figure out how to replicate the repaving process or however it works for all of their tracks, because Kansas is amazing, and it was great, 2 years probably after they repaved it. So I'm not sure what made it so different, but it's awesome. And for instance, Texas is probably never going to get good again. I'm trying to think of other repaved tracks. I can't think of any.
Darlington,
right now.
Michigan were some of them in the last.
Well, Darlington, Darlington's so. Great. Darlington's great. Michigan is another one that'll never, it just doesn't seem to age at all. It's got the same amount of grip I feel like it's had for a long time. So Kansas, I don't know if it's the progressive banking in the track or what, but it races awesome. It lays rubber. It gets slick. So they did a great job with that. And hopefully, they've repaved tracks. Like, hopefully Atlanta will be good like Kansas, but we'll see.
It's going to be fun to watch, Kyle. You've been killing it on both sides. Congratulations on a strong season and the win at Texas. And good luck this weekend at Kansas.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Woody. Coming up, Clint Bowyer will join us. And later, we'll preview the racing weekend at Kansas Speedway.
NASCAR season is here, and everyone on the Toyota racing team is doing their part to perform at the highest level. From driver Ty Gibbs to amateur musician Russell Viper, who's working on the perfect pre-race pump-up track for the team.
Start those Camrys up! Yeah!
Accomplish greater things this year. Everyone plays a part. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Inc.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. It's been a little bit since Clint Bowyer hung up his helmet and moved into the broadcast booth for Fox. Dave Moody caught up with Clint ahead of the racing weekend at Kansas, which was his home racetrack.
All right, Mr. Bowyer, seven down, three to go. It's been a chaotic playoffs. It's been a tumultuous playoffs at times. It's certainly been an entertaining playoffs. What are your major takeaways from what we've seen so far?
You know, honestly, I thought it was going to be a four-car race with Hendrick Motorsports going into this for a championship. And, you know, I've been impressed with the Penske boys, the Penske camp, staying alive, figuring out a way to get better, you know, in a situation, in a scenario that's not easy to do with, you know, not being able to implement new parts and not really being able to change anything. Just fine-tuning, finding those little bits and pieces, you know, and changing the way they were putting the puzzle together and coming up with a better outcome. So I've been impressed with them. And, you know, Gibbs, yeah, I think everybody's been, you know, a little bit somewhat in the limelight. I mean, there's no question they're all chasing the five car, including his teammates. But nonetheless, my point is I thought it was going to be all four of those guys racing each other for a championship. From what I saw in the first half of the year, especially.
We all knew that Kyle Larson had a ton of talent. There's never been any doubt about that from day one. Have you been a little bit surprised, though, with just how dominant he has been? I mean, 8 wins on the season, twice as many as anybody else on the planet.
Well, I think, you know, the stars are lined up for him right now. Make no mistake about it. I think he's a bad man behind the wheel. I think he's literally, he'll go down as one of the best. There's no question. I've raced against him and in equipment that I knew probably wasn't as good as him. And, you know, then I've watched him race in superior equipment right now. That's the difference. I mean, at the end of the day, you don't want to knock anybody, but hey, it's facts are facts. That being said, I believe that, you know, things happen in this sport and in waves, you know. Look at the start of the season with Denny Hamlin, you know, the dominance that he had. Never won, but he was dominating races right off the bat. And then, you know, all of a sudden here comes the Hendrick camp. And then Kyle, you know, just goes on a tear and dominates. I believe that his experience in racing all sorts of stuff that he had last year, you know, humbled a little bit with what everything that had happened. You know, I think everything is you know, just obviously coming right now, and the stars are lined up, like I said, for him.
We've seen a little bit of controversy here in the last few weeks. I don't think anybody necessarily minds it. It adds a little spice to the soup. Is that to be expected when we get down to the point where people's seasons are hanging in the balance, that they're going to get a little defensive about their territory out there?
Pretty much every year we see this in the playoffs. I mean, you know, a lot of people complain about the playoffs. At the end of the day, they make it exciting. I mean, without it, it would have been, you know, relatively boring, especially for the majority of everybody out there. This has kept everybody alive, kept, you know, fans, drivers, you know, everything happening, staying alive and getting on down the road. Every single round, it just keeps getting more compacted and more compacted, and you see emotions flowing, especially at those cutoff races, you know. The storm's brewing, and it always was kind of that way leading into Homestead, the championship, and now it's every single round, you know, 3 races, and you know all hell's going to break loose. 3 races, and all hell's going to break loose. So that being said, that last round, in my opinion, almost knocked Kyle Larson out of the thing. I mean, had that caution not have came out when Chase Briscoe spun in the front straightaway, I don't know. Who knows what would have happened? He'd have had to pit probably and change that battery. Maybe the caution would have come out. I mean, all you know, that could have changed massively. Could you imagine for the second year in a row, the dominant car, the dominant team getting knocked out of the playoffs before they got to the end? Happened last year with Kevin Harvick, and man, I'm telling you, that was super close for Kyle and his team, dodging that bullet, and then somehow coming through all of that adversity and winning that race was just that. These boys are in trouble coming Phoenix. That's all I got to say.
Let's talk a little bit about Kevin Harvick. Second year in a row out of the playoffs earlier than anyone expected. this year out considerably earlier than anyone expected. Kevin is what he's always been, and outwardly, you know, there's a lot of bluster and a lot of confidence and not a shadow of a doubt in his mind about what's going on over there. Is that the way it really is, do you think, or do 2 years of falling short of the goal make you start to question what's going on a little bit?
I've said this forever. It's easy to run good. It's hard to run bad. It's frustrating as all hell, and that's what you're seeing. It's just frustration, you know, brewing over. Yes, he was frustrated from last year. They fell off the face of the earth right there at the end, and he wasn't able to compete for a championship like he should have been. And started off right where they left off last year and have really struggled with that camp. And yes, I know Kevin. He's been my longest teammate I've had through my tenure. And I'm telling you, he doesn't do well with frustration. I can say that as a friend of his. And you know, he's got a lot of strong suits. Running bad's not one of them.
In the last week or two, we've heard a lot from some of the veteran championship drivers kind of getting up in the face of some of these younger guys that are not running for a title, but are still up there trying to win races and are not exactly giving them the white glove treatment while they do it. Where does the line lie? You've been in both of those camps. You've been a playoff guy and you've been not a playoff guy at this point of the season. Is it just a little bit of head games with some veteran championship guys trying to maybe, you know, bully the competition into giving them six extra inches here for the next 3 weeks?
100% on both sides of it. You know, I know what you're talking about, Chase Briscoe and Denny Hamlin. Hey, just depends on what shoe you got. If you're in the 14 ball, you've struggled all year long, your car's running a little bit better, you're doing better inside the car, you got an opportunity to pass a playoff driver in Denny Hamlin, Danny's gonna, and then on the flip side of that, you know, Chase Briscoe's gonna take that because he can, because he hasn't been able to all year long. Now he's in a situation where he is in the catbird position to be able to make that pass. And then on the flip side of that, Denny hasn't seen him all year long, and he was strong-arming. You know, I mean, I guarantee you rewind that, and there was two or three blocks and you know, runs that were cut off and things like that. I mean, that doesn't just happen, boom, all of a sudden to come out of the pits and the first car you see is Denny and you end up in a wreck. I mean, I've been on both sides of it, man. I've been the rookie that comes in, and I'll never forget Jeff Gordon wore me out in Atlanta. I'm talking for 40-some laps. I was so pissed off in the car. I could not get around him. Like, I'm going to wreck you. I'm done. I've drove it off in there in position too many times. I'm going to wreck him. And I had in my mind, damn it, I'm going to go wreck this Jeff Gordon, my hero. I'm going in there, and I'm going to dump him because he deserves it. And to this day, Jeff will tell you, I should have done that. He would have done it.
He knew it, and you knew it, right?
He knew I wouldn't do it, and he was right, you know? So he took advantage of the situation just like Denny did, and you know, Chase probably tried too hard and pushed the envelope and made a mistake. Simple as that. That's the way I see it.
Final question here, coming up on Kansas. I don't know why, maybe you can tell me, it's been one of the most volatile playoff tracks for the last 4 or 5 years. What is it about that place? It's not your average mile and a half.
Literally just did Johnny Dare show this morning on the radio in Kansas City and told him the exact same thing. I have no idea. You come into this thinking just normal, easy peasy mile and a half track, the fast cars are going to run up front. Slow cars are going to chase them and be frustrated all day long with their handling. It's exactly that until the caution comes out. And that just shakes the race up, and it always seems to happen. I mean, boring, 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 and then all of a sudden, holy crap, the caution just came out. People are going to stay out. You know they are. Some of them need to pit for fuel. Some of them are going to take tires, and all hell is going to break loose on these restarts because you can jump off in there 3, 4, 5 wide in those corners like we've seen, and somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. It's happened time and time again at Kansas. And if that happens, guess where it tees up to? Martinsville. Payback City, baby.
Nothing crazy ever happens at Martinsville.
Payback City. We have never seen that before.
Thank you, Dave. Coming up, Kyle Larson's crew chief, Cliff Daniels, and later, we talk racing at Kansas.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. Cliff Daniels has had a fantastic 2021 season with Kyle Larson. Kim Coon sat down with the crew chief of the number 5 car to talk strategy for Phoenix and the potential of winning a championship.
So, Cliff, with the number 5 teams win at Texas, you guys have officially locked yourselves into the championship for Phoenix, but we still have 2 races before we hit Phoenix. So for the next 2 weeks, what's the focus for you guys since you essentially have nothing to worry about?
Yeah, we're certainly focused on each race as it comes. Naturally, Phoenix is a big target for us and want to have, you know, as strong of an effort as we can possibly have there. But momentum, I think, in any sport, especially in our sport, can be a real thing. So in our pursuit of Phoenix, we certainly don't want to, you know, lose some of the momentum that's a real thing that we have right now.
So Kansas this weekend, kind of looking at Kyle's results there in the past, it hasn't necessarily been an outstanding track for him, just some mixed results. So what do you think about this mile and a half challenges your driver more so than some of the others you visited?
Some of it, from what I've seen, has boiled down to just raw bad racing luck, which, you know, over time you can or cannot use as an excuse. But in our case in the spring, we had a really good run going. And then some restarts at the end didn't quite, you know, play out right for us and probably should have walked away with a top 5 or better finish. So, you know, with him, he's so good at adjusting to so many different types of tracks. I do have a lot of confidence in what he can do at Kansas, even though, you know, the stat sheet may be a little bit lower on his scale of intermediates, and hopefully we put a good car under him and he can go keep it up front.
Your win at Texas marked the 8th win this season for the number 5 team, which is crazy to talk about. And kind of looking at both you and Kyle's resumes previously, you worked with Jimmy Johnson, a 7-time champion with Hendrick Power behind you. And then prior to Hendrick, Kyle drove for CGR, which typically always shows strength at tracks. But neither of you witnessed the success that you're seeing together. So what about this pairing makes you guys such a good team?
There's a lot of different factors, and I would start out by just giving a lot of credit to Mr. Hendrick for giving us the team, the resources, the connection, you know, putting us together. He you know, saw something in our team and in Kyle that he thought would be a good fit. So very thankful, you know, to him for pairing us together. And I think there's so much just common racing hunger, which sounds so simple to say, but you watch Larson run any kind of car, whether it's a dirt car or an asphalt car, his genuine passion for racing is so raw. It's such a real thing that he carries it over to the Cup side. So he's not jaded. He's not complacent. He's hungry every week. He puts in the work. And in our team, including me, I mean, we have a lot of youth on our team. We have a lot of young guys. And there's that same passion and energy and drive to go try to achieve big things every week. So I think the common threads that we all share as racers and then our passion to do that is a lot of what's behind this team.
Was there ever a point where you personally had doubts in your mind about your capabilities as a crew chief before this season kicked off, before being paired with Kyle?
Always. And I think that is probably the nature of our sport, you know, for any crew chief being paired with any, you know, driver in the Cup levels, already a talented driver, just to be there. But obviously starting 2 years ago with Jimmy, that was pretty daunting, right? To know that the 7-time champ is, you know, nearing the end of his career and the expectations are still high. Knew we had a strong team, knew he could still get the job done every week. For one reason or another, we weren't able to produce the results. We could have a fast run and we just didn't get the results on track. Yeah, I absolutely had a lot of self-doubt. And the thing that kept me going and kept our team going was Mr. Hendrick, Jeff Gordon, Jeff Andrews, Chad Knaus, believing in our team. They knew how young we were, but we had the hunger, we had the drive. Guys are willing to put in the hours here at the shop that, you know, whenever we kind of got over the hurdle of, you know, maybe some of the freshman issues or sophomore issues that, you know, just seemed to plague us, that if we really got in stride, we're going to have pretty good potential. And I appreciate them seeing that because it was hard for me to see that in myself or in our team sometimes when things weren't going our way.
Thank you, Kim. Coming up, we'll preview the Kansas race weekend. And later, Chandler Smith will join us.
Whelan would like to congratulate Kyle Larson and his number 5 Hendrick Motorsports pit crew for the win at Texas Motor Speedway. They are the Whelan Pit Crew of the Week. Following the victory, Larson reflected on the team and securing a spot in the Championship Four.
It's awesome. You know, I mean, we had a good points lead or whatever from the cutoff going into it, but still, you know, Harvick had his issues last year and didn't make it to the Final Four, so that will always be on my mind. But we had a fast car today, and, you know, we had a good couple stages, so even if I didn't come out with the lead or the win or whatever, I wanted to play it smart and take what I could get. But we had a great race car to allow me to be aggressive with the blocks and fast, too, to stay out in front of William.
Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry, trusted to perform since 1952. Now, back to your host, Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. Kansas is race 2 in the round of 8 for the NASCAR Cup Series. Kyle Larson has locked himself into racing for a championship. Who will do it next? Let's preview the race weekend at Kansas.
The NASCAR Cup Series playoff round of 8 heats up with the second leg taking place in the Heartland at Kansas Speedway. Kyle Larson locked up his spot into the Championship 4 by way of a victory last week in Texas, which leaves two more chances for the other 7 playoff drivers to win their way into Championship weekend in Phoenix. It's been almost 10 years since Kansas Speedway was repaved. Over that time, former NASCAR Cup Series champion and 2020 championship participant Joey Logano has had plenty of time to get familiar with the new surface. He'll need to lean on that knowledge again this weekend as he finds himself 43 points below the cut line, needing a win at either Kansas or Martinsville in order for him to race for a championship for the second year in a row. He did it last year. Can he do it again?
It's changed a lot, I guess. Boy, as I think about it, you know, when it first repaved, it was pretty much the bottom lane. And I always remember it was Jamie McMurray that was the first of that third lane, that like last scene where they had more banking. And he went up there and passed a whole bunch of cars out of nowhere. It's like, whoa, I didn't know you could go up there. It was always kind of no man's land. It was ice up there. You would never want to get on it. And he cleaned it off and got going. And I remember that same race, I jumped up there as well, and we were able to win that race. And that was kind of like the game-changing moment for Kansas, where it went from a one-lane bottom of the racetrack, maybe get to the second lane, to this thing's 3 lanes wide. Now you're all the way up against the wall. You know, so it's really coming to one of the best 550 racetracks that we have all the way through, right? I mean, if you think of all the 550 races, that's probably one of the best racetracks for it, because you can really go anywhere you want, kind of like Vegas would be, right? It fits this 550 package really well.
Ryan Blaney's 6th place finish at Texas now brings him 17 points above the cut line, heading to the Sunflower State this weekend. While he doesn't have the experience at Kansas that Logano has, Blaney has his own thoughts on what it's like to race at the intermediate track.
You know, I never got to race it before it got repaved. But I feel like it's aged pretty good. You know, I mean, we were able to run all over that racetrack. The only thing that I would probably say is I wish it was a little bit rougher, you know, as far as bumps and things like that. But you know, can't complain about too much. It's probably aged the best out of any track that has been paved in the last 10 years. You know, I'd say that because, you know, you look at like a Michigan, like a Phoenix, things like that. Before they added the VHT there, it was kind of hard to move around. So to be able to have a track like that run all the way at the wall, on the bottom, in the middle, that's pretty good. So I think it's aged very nicely. I don't know what's different with the pavement that they use there compared to other repaves that has made it like that. But it's been doing pretty well. So it's been a good track for us. It'd be nice to finish one out there. But I give it a thumbs up on the aging process, and that'll just get better with time.
Well, out of the playoffs, William Byron is coming off his 4th top 2 finish of the season after finishing 2nd at Texas behind his Hendrick Motorsports teammate Kyle Larson. Byron expects a few changes to the racing conditions at Kansas compared to what they faced earlier in the spring.
The fall race is always a little bit cooler, so typically it's kind of cold there, and
It just creates a lot more wide open throttle time, but you still move around the track just as much, and the restarts are just crazy and all those things. But yeah, the throttle time is probably the biggest difference between the spring, and you know, it makes it a little bit easier, but still is a tough track because I feel like the aggregate of the surface is pretty hard on tires. So it makes it for a fun race.
Tune in Sunday afternoon at 2:00 Eastern time as the Motor Racing Network returns with full coverage of the Hollywood Casino 400 from Kansas Speedway.
Coming up, Chandler Smith, and later, Ty Dillon.
NASCAR Live is brought to you by Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief, the official pain relief cream of the Motor Racing Network. Blue Emu is family owned and manufactured here in America. It works fast and you won't stink. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. NASCAR Camping World Truck Series driver Chandler Smith is anxiously waiting for Martinsville to get back on the racetrack and lock himself in to racing for a championship at Phoenix. Our very own Steve Post talked with the playoff contender.
Joining us here on NASCAR Live, Chandler Smith, driver up at Kyle Busch Motorsports in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Hello, Chandler. Welcome into NASCAR Live.
Yeah, appreciate you guys letting me be on the show this morning.
Well, we have a downtime here in the Truck Series, and we'll talk a little bit about what's been going on with the playoffs and what's coming up with Martinsville. But I've been following your schedule. No downtime for you. You've been keeping busy during this hiatus from the Truck Series.
Oh yeah, for sure. Trying to keep my feet wet and just keep sharpening my overall skills, right?
I know the Super Late Model is very different than the Camping World Truck Series, where you race full time for Kyle Busch Motorsport. But you mentioned it, kind of keep your feet wet, kind of keep the rust knocked off. How important is it for you to race as much as possible like that?
You know, I always have raced a lot throughout my whole career. I've never really had any off time. I've never really had the only time I have an off season is from end of December to the very, I'd say, middle of January. So this year, I feel like I probably raced more than I have in a very long time. Obviously, I raced a lot when I started the Truck Series with the Arca Menards Series as well. But the flip side of that is I wasn't doing as much as racing on top of each other as I am now. And I definitely feel like I've seen it help. We see it with Kyle Larson. I mean, he races I don't know how many times a year, and he's debatably probably the best driver out there right now. So. I'm a believer in it. Definitely just overall helps your chemistry, helps your self-awareness, everything about driving that makes you a better race car driver. The best experience you can get is doing the real thing. You ain't going to get, you know, all the things that Kyle Larson or myself or other people get that go and race on their off weekends on a simulation or anything like that. You got to go out there and do the real thing.
Kind of assess your season with the Truck Series. You find yourself deep into the playoffs now. Of course, that big win at Bristol certainly helped get you there. But, you know, how do you feel right now where your team is at and where you guys are at with Martinsville coming up next week?
Really good. About halfway through the season, we started bringing trucks to the racetrack that were really good. Easily top three trucks. Just could never put a race together where something went wrong or like I just said, something honestly go wrong. But here recently, we've been able to put some races together. Bristol, for instance. Even at Bristol, we had some issues. Every time I'd get towards the front, somebody would run into the left front wheel opening, and I'd have a fender rub. So had to go from the front or the back to the front like two or three times at Bristol. But, hey, still got the win. But on the flip side of all of that, we've been having really good speed, good balance of trucks, good pit crew. Danny's been making really good calls on the pit box. So I feel really good. We're going to a short track. I've never even been to Martinsville. I've only been one time, and that was to watch the truck race a few years ago. But at the end of the day, I come from short track racing, and I don't think it's going to be any different.
So how do you? Is there anything specific to Martinsville that has you excited or has you concerned? Because it's a short track, yes, but it's a little bit unique as well in the paperclip layout, if you will.
Yeah, there's not many things. I mean, I'm excited because it's a short track, but there's a few things I'm worried about, just the fact of the matter of the situation I'm in a little bit. I basically have to go win it again, which, honestly, every time we show up at the racetrack, we're trying to win. So it's really no different. But with that being said, I'm always a lot more aggressive when I have to win. And where other times, if I don't really I wouldn't say necessarily have to win. If I'm racing side by side with somebody, I try to race everybody with a lot of respect. And not really, I mean, we'll rub a little bit, but I'm not going to absolutely just drill straight through somebody to get a win. That's just not me. But when it comes to situations like this, and, you know, you've worked all year to get to this one part, and that's Phoenix, and you have to go out there and win, you kind of got to do things that you don't really want to do either. So there's some things that I'm kind of worried about, knowing that I'm going to be a lot more aggressive than I usually am. And people are returning the favor for sure, which is expected. I mean, you're going to expect that when you drive somebody dirty, you got to expect them to drive and them to return the favor to you. It's just the kind of flip of everything, but you got to take that chance. I mean, it's Martinsville. It's the second to last race before the season's over with. It's the race that's going to determine who goes to Phoenix too. So,
yeah, 34 points back. You're right. It's kind of a win and move on. And the last time that worked out well, it's the United Rentals 200 Saturday, October 30th, MRN airtime at 12:30 Eastern time.
Thank you, Postman. Coming up, Ty Dillon.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief, the official pain relief cream of the Motor Racing Network.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
We're about to head for the exits on this week's NASCAR Live, but before we do, just updating everybody about Ty Dillon. Haven't heard his name for a while until recently when he made a big announcement that he has a full-time ride in the NASCAR Cup Series with GMS Racing in 2022. Woody Kane chatted with him about that big opportunity.
Ty Dillon is with us. He is the new driver for the number 94 GMS Chevrolet Camaros, competing full-time in the Cup Series in 2022. And first off, Ty, congratulations. I know after this year that has to be a big relief for you looking toward 2022, knowing that everything is locked in and secure.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so grateful and honored to be the first Cup driver for GMS and to be back in the Cup Series full time and to work for a team like GMS. Maury Gallagher has put in so much time into our sport, and now he's taken the step to going Cup racing. And him and Mike Beam have built an amazing race team over here. It's very, very exciting. The future looks really great. I'm just, first of all, excited to be back full-time racing and knowing what I'm going to be doing next year.
Tell me a little about how this deal came together, because most folks are familiar with the story. You were with Jermaine for 4 years, and then that organization shut down, and you've spent this year in about, I think, 15 or so races with different Cup teams and different Xfinity teams. So how did the GMS thing come together for you?
Yeah, you know, it was started coming together around the Olympic break during the season. That was when the first few phone calls were starting, and it started with an inquiry, and then it started to make so much sense. Kind of where myself and GMS were coming together at the same point, and just talking with Mike Beam over time. Nothing is as simple as saying, hey, let's just go race and everything gets done. It takes a lot of planning and building, and GMS was still, Mike and Maury were still kind of figuring out their plan as far as, you know, where they wanted to go with the race team, you know, the charter situation, were they going to go full time, what they wanted to do. So as a lot of those details came together and we started talking about possible partnership and businesses and working together with getting sponsorship for the race team, it just grew and grew and made more and more sense. And I think we've been working together on making everything come together for a while now, and the relationship has just been easy and really smooth. And I just think the clear communication that I've gotten from Mike Beam and Maury and stuff on the vision for the race team, where they see me and the long-term view of the race team, has been exactly what I've wanted. And really, really excited to be a part of this race team for a long, long time and help them grow into a top team in the top series in NASCAR.
Tell me about the process from there to here, because I've seen some quotes from you. You told Kelly Crandall over at Racer that they're going to get the best version of me, and you've been able to spend time with your two kids now more than you would if you were chasing race cars all across the country 30-some weekends a year. So what's this year or so been like for you?
Yeah, you know, it's a unique year, obviously, not knowing
know, I think personally, am I going to get a shot at this full time again? There was certain times throughout the year I didn't, whether it was going to be Xfinity or Cup, just any opportunity I could get, you know, and just always kind of staying patient and working and giving my effort. Even when I didn't have a race weekend, I still worked out really hard and prepared like I was going to be ready to race and get a call. And funny enough, it turned out a few times where, you know, I did get a call. I got a call at Darlington to fill in for Brett Moffitt, which turned into five straight weeks of racing in the Xfinity Series, which is, you just never know. And when you stay ready, it's always a great thing. And, you know, the beginning of half the year where I missed a lot of races and wasn't racing was a tough adjustment. But my wife and my kids and my wife has been my rock as far as just keeping me positive and believing that it's going to come back around, and just having, you know, our faith and our belief in Christ was a really strong hold for us along that journey, just knowing that if we were supposed to be a part of this sport, he was going to make that happen. And he never took it away. At times it felt like it was maybe close to being gone, but it wasn't really due to my, you know, to my effort. It was all his as far as the opportunities that have come about and given me a chance again. So he's always remained faithful in my career, and I'm grateful for that. I just think, you know, it was a necessary journey for me to go on. And throughout that time, I've matured and grown in so many more ways than just being a better driver, which I believe I'm going to be a better driver. I have a renewed passion for the sport, and my motivation is different from my younger years, where I feel like I was more motivated by the fear of failure or the fear of not impressing those around me in my circle, whether it was race team, people, sponsors. But I'm very proud of who I am now, and my motivation has turned into more of the motivation just to get better as a person, better as a driver, week in and week out, to work at the details. And I think when you've done something for so long and it's taken away to a point where you don't know if you're ever going to get it again, you really start realizing what you loved about it when you miss that. And to me, it was the simple work of being a NASCAR driver, of preparing and being a part of something, having that responsibility day in and day out of being the best I can at what I do. And I just am excited to have that back. And I think that motivation is so much more pure. And that's why I say things like, I feel like GMS is going to get the best title and that has been in NASCAR. And I feel like, people haven't seen the best of me yet. And I think they're going to get a chance to.
Well, Ty, we appreciate your time. Good luck to whatever comes forward for the remainder of this year and full time next year. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Woody. Also, would like to thank Kyle Larson for joining us this weekend. Also, our thanks to Clint Bowyer, Cliff Daniels, Chandler Smith, and Ty Dillon. And for the rest of the MRN crew, I'm Mike Bagley. We thank you for joining us as well. We'll chat with you again next week right here on NASCAR Live. Until then, so long, everybody.
NASCAR Live is a production of the Motor Racing Network with studios in Concord, North Carolina, and was brought to you by Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief, the official pain relief cream of the Motor Racing Network. Blue Emu is family-owned and manufactured here in America. It works fast, and you won't stink. Today's broadcast was produced by Alexa Henrian and Julian Council. The executive producer for MRN is Ryan Horn. Remember to visit MRN.com for all of the latest news and information. NASCAR Live is produced under an exclusive license with NASCAR. Any use of the accounts or descriptions contained in this broadcast must be with the express written permission of NASCAR and the Motor Racing Network.
Ford has put the stock back in stock car, and now you can register for your chance to be Ford Performance's VIP guest and watch the NASCAR Next Gen Mustang hit the track for the first time in 2022. One grand prize winner and their guest will receive a trip for two to Daytona Beach with VIP access, Ford Performance driver meet and greets, round trip airfare, and more. Register now through November 7th at FordNextGen.com. That's FordNextGen.com.
Buying a house can feel like you're going 200 miles per hour in bumper-to-bumper traffic with a dirty windshield and the sun in your eyes. Ruoff Mortgage has the technology, expert staff, and resources to simplify the process while speeding up the time it takes to get clear to close. So while getting a loan can seem intimidating, Ruoff Mortgage will have you opening the door to your new home fast and stress-free. Visit Ruoff.com to learn more. That's Ruoff.com.